This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. Rob Driesline with you here on this Sunday, January 12, 2025. Second show of the new year. Thanks for joining me. I'll be here for the next hour. A couple good guests I'm excited about. Hey, the main thing going on right now is ice fishing. So we had an ice fishing guest last week, Glenn Schmidt, but Joel Nelson's going to join us this week. He's from Onyx Fish, but he is hardcore about ice fishing. He's been out a lot recently. We definitely have some great ice across the state thanks to the cold temperatures this past week and the lack of snow. We'll talk to Joe about how hard water angling is going. Then at the bottom of the hour, Eric Miller. He's the rifle line product manager at Anoka-based Federal Premium, arguably the most important bullet and cartridge manufacturer in the world. We're lucky to have Federal right here in the Twin Cities area. He's going to talk about a new round that Federal unveiled this past Tuesday, the 7mm Backcountry. They will more formally unveil that at the SHOT Show, Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show in Vegas, a week from Tuesday, I believe that show kicks off. But they gave the outdoors media a sneak preview this past week. And I know to a lot of folks it's just a new bullet, but it's actually a really exciting round given what's going on with hunting these days with shorter-barreled rifles and the use of suppressors. We'll talk more about that with Eric. So we're definitely going to spend some time talking about fishing, but I want to spend the rest of this segment talking about whitetail deer hunting and some news involving deer here in the state of Minnesota. One, the Minnesota DNR issued a press release this past week talking about the status of their statewide deer plan. I guess we're halfway through the existing statewide plan. It started in 2018. It goes through 2028. So the DNR wants to do a midpoint review of the program to assess what they call progress towards goals, objectives, strategies, that sort of thing. The press release that the agency issued this past week cited some of the, quote, achievements identified in the review, the agency noting that they have revised deer population goals in all deer permit areas through a four-year process. They've expanded the youth deer season statewide, established a public deer advisory committee, sampled more than 70,000 deer for chronic wasting disease, and acquired a bunch of acres for public land to be dedicated to hunting and managed, and also managed other public land to benefit deer habitat. Now, one might say those are pretty basic duties of a natural resources agency. They're supposed to be doing those things. You know, the acreage that they cite, that was acquired for a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, groups like Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited were probably involved in acquiring a lot of those acres where deer might happen to live. You know, let's be honest here. I don't think we've acquired 28,000 acres of new public land just for deer management. I wish we would, but I don't think that's quite how things have shaken out. The press release noting that the midpoint assessment document also includes a list of what they call emerging considerations since the plan first was adopted 5 years ago, among them public concerns about wolf and deer numbers, the growth of the footprint of CWD in the state, technological advances in hunting equipment, plans for a new electronic licensing system, and increased hunter selectivity in what deer they harvest, and the long-term decline in hunter participation. So the agency admitting in the press release that there's things we need to work on. I don't know what I would call the wolf an emerging issue. That's one we've been arguing about for many, many decades. But anyway, I appreciate the DNR pointing that there are things to work on. And that's the point of this review, right? They want to get the public involved to chime in on some of these sorts of things. And they're making that pretty easy. For one thing, if you want to read the complete plan, the entire plan is 42 pages long, but it's real easy to access via the DNR website. Just go to mndnr.gov/deer plan. I'll mention that again later, mndnr.gov/deer plan. They've got a cute little video there that explains it a little bit. They're also going to do a webinar on Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. So again, via that website, you can find a link to that webinar if you want to sit in on that. I suspect a lot of the webinar will be them reading the plan aloud, but there'll also be some time for questions if folks want to chime in. I know a lot of people have concerns about wolves and deer population goals in certain deer permit areas, that sort of thing. But you'll get the opportunity to ask those questions directly during that webinar. And then anyone who just wants to chime in and offer a comment on the plan can do that via a real simple link on the website also. You click that link and it takes you directly to a questionnaire, Minnesota Deer Plan Midpoint Review Questionnaire. So there you go. Very quick and easy if you want to chime in, like say, on how we're managing white-tailed deer in Minnesota. And per the DNR website, they're saying they will accept comments on the plan through Friday, February 7th. So you got, you know, the better part of a month to jump on the website, mndnr.gov/deer plan. You know, a lot of people like to rant and rave about what the DNR does or doesn't do. Well, here's your opportunity to speak to deer management directly. And I want to talk about one other deer topic, chronic wasting disease. The DNR also had a big announcement about that this past week, something I've been talking about, but the DNR formalized it this week. I don't have time now, so maybe in my last segment I will tackle that. Before we break, though, the DNR, I will give them a little boost here. They're looking to fill 200 paid summer internships. Yeah, it's that time of year when the DNR is letting people know that they're going to have a lot of opportunities for college students around the state to work in fisheries, forestry, park operations, communications, that sort of thing. There's a part-time and full-time jobs available this summer with a competitive wage, the DNR says, of up to $19 an hour. Looks like they are accepting internship applications through Friday, January 31st. The quickest way to get there is mndnr.gov. It looks like right now the kind of the banner across the top of the DNR website says college students apply for a paid summer internship. So just click that and you will find all the information you could possibly want on how to apply, etc. So if you're a young person out there, a college kid looking for some experience, consider the Minnesota DNR this summer. All right, now I think I'm going to grab a break. We will be back and talk some serious ice fishing with Joel Nelson from Onyx Fish when we return. This is WCCO Outdoors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. Welcome back to the broadcast on this Sunday, January 12th. I'm Rob Driesline. Going to talk ice fishing here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I got a press release from the Minnesota DNR this past week noting that the agency's State Forest Nursery is looking for individuals to collect black spruce and jack pine cones this winter. They use the seeds to plant seedlings at the State Forest Nursery, and then they plant those on state forests all over Minnesota. Per the press release, however, it sounds like the number of collectors has declined in recent years, and so the agency is looking for some new participants. They'll even pay you $100 for a bushel of quality black spruce pine cones and $30 for jack pine cones. Those aren't worth quite as much. If you want more details, you go to mndnr.gov/seedcone. That's mndnr.gov/seedcone. With that, let's transition to talking a little bit about ice fishing. And a friend of mine who hasn't been with us for about a year, but I always like to check in with him this time of the season, is our old friend Joel Nelson. Joel, good to see you. And you're at a new job since the last time we talked.
Yeah, things have certainly changed. Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Yeah, you're now the marketing manager at Onyx. Congratulations. You were at the U of M for quite a few years, but you jumped both feet into the outdoor industry, huh?
Yeah, for sure. For the longest time, I always said I had a foot on two icebergs. One was on that University of Minnesota job and the other in the fishing industry. And sometimes the icebergs ran close together and other times I was doing the splits. But now kind of a chance to jump both feet, like you said, into a singular opportunity. And so yeah, I'm the marketing manager for the new Onyx Fish app.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit. But before we do that, let's talk about what's on the minds of a lot of folks right now. And that's the fact that everybody's standing on one iceberg, right? You know, their feet aren't split between two icebergs because we got some pretty good ice out there. We got a great ice fishing season unfolding, correct?
It's going great. I mean, I think this was the ice season that everybody wanted. And the really neat part was even through the holidays when so many people were fishing, we had a nice little warm stretch. So people could get out. It wasn't crushing cold. The fishing was pretty good both before, during, and I'm seeing even after a little bit. Fish are starting to get a little tight-lipped with these extreme cold mornings we've had. But for the most part, I've fished so far for pike, crappies, walleyes, panfish just in general. And everywhere we've been has been reasonably good to excellent.
And we've got great ice conditions, I mean, continuing to form statewide. I mean, it's been so cold the past week. I mean, we're making an inch plus a day, I got to think. Across a growing swath of at least northern Minnesota, we've got people driving on the ice. Is that what you're seeing, Joel?
Yeah, I was up near the Whitefish chain just before Christmas. I fished near Brainerd and all around that area. There was a bold and brave truck on December 22nd pulling a double-axled fish house out on a local Brainerd area lake, but there were loads of big wheelhouses out already. The reports from Lake of the Woods have been really good. There's people going out quite a ways. So, yeah, I think we're in the full swing of things like an old-fashioned winter, right?
Yeah, and at this point, we're not really worried about snow anymore. I mean, that's the big worry in December when that ice is forming. You get 3, 4, 5 inches, and then you get a bunch of snow. That can make a real mess. At this point, we got a solid base where, you know, I was talking to Glenn Schmidt on this show last week. He suggests a little snow may not be a bad thing. It would help muffle some of the noise on top of the ice so that we're not spooking fish as much, and also give guys and gals a little bit of traction as they're walking around. The ice is pretty slick right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little spooky. Go out with creepers if you're out on foot. But to your point about spooking fish, absolutely. I've always loved a little bit of snow to make those fish underneath the ice a little bit less wary of shadows, a little bit less wary of your overhead presence in general to muffle the sound, like Glenn mentioned. So, yeah, I'm all about just a little bit of snow could really benefit anglers here coming up.
Tell me what fish you're most likely to target. Well, you know what? Let's just cut to the chase. Let's talk some walleye fishing
a little bit.
Joel, I mean, to me, early season is about walleyes, early ice season, that is. And I think we're still early season. We've got still fairly new ice out there. Tell me about your game plan when you're out trying to catch walleyes this time of year.
You know, we were out on Mille Lacs earlier, and for me, it's all about shoreline breaks. I'm not going out too deep too quick, although now we're starting to approach the point on Mille Lacs where, yeah, getting out to some of the mud flats has been productive. There are fish out there. And as pressure grows on the ice, especially for walleyes in shallow water, I'm all about being where people aren't. I believe, especially with weedy walleyes in a lot of the southern lakes I fish, especially western Wisconsin lakes I fish especially, those fish aren't necessarily on rocky, gravelly, sandy structure out deep. They can be on a 12-foot break along a cabbage edge or a coontail edge. So to me, I want to hit those areas near shore first that aren't being addressed by other people. And as soon as folks start to flock out, I'm the first person to get out of there. I'm trying to stay on unpressured fish throughout the season.
Joel, a warmer weekend like the one that's kind of unfolding, where we're going to get back up into the low 30s here. I'm not worried about that creating any problem with ice conditions. It's still well below freezing at night. Probably perfect. You know, guys and gals willing to go out when it's a little warmer during the day. It's just a little more comfortable. What does that do to the bite? You know, do fish react to this, the change in warmer temperatures when they're under hard water?
You know, I've found that fish definitely, from a barometric pressure perspective, do well with stable temperatures that are trending warmer. We don't love big high fronts, bright skies, stark cold. We don't like big fronts that roll in and bring storms. But generally trending warmer weather, along with a fairly stable barometer, has been pretty good to me in years past. And this weekend's going to be great because a lot of the metro is going to come online for driving on ice. I was just out to a local lake this morning, just driving around checking. There are light trucks on the ice right now in the metro area. There are big wheelhouses out. I would urge caution everywhere just yet. But this could be the first weekend where a lot of the metro comes online with anglers just starting to drive out, certainly with UTVs, but maybe even light trucks and cars.
Warmer temperatures this weekend, but also overcast, and that bodes well for the bite, right? When it's not super bright, that means you might have a decent midday bite, especially if you can keep the noise down. Joel, you brought up Mille Lacs, and I just want to swing back to that real quick. 2 fish limit up there for walleyes this winter. What's the vibe on that? Folks pretty excited about being able to bring home a couple walleyes apiece?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely excitement, and it's really interesting. When we fished it, there were loads of small fish too, which I haven't seen in the lake for some time, but the existence of small walleyes all around you. In fact, they became a nuisance. We were on so many of them. We actually had to move, and we had a strong night push, a great evening push of big fish roll in, watching them interact with our baits. It was really a lot of fun. And knowing that if they would have been in that slot, we sure could have kept them, but ours were over. So we put them back and we're happy for the experience.
What was the forage situation? Bump into a lot of perch up there?
I did not, but I had talked to other anglers that were catching perch out on the mud that were out there early. And a lot of those folks were really kind of bahaing it out. There's a big crack on the western part of the lake right now, covering up Terry's Harbor. It's up against Garrison. And that crack was tough to negotiate, but that's a day-by-day scenario, right? That's been a while since I've been up there. They're probably finding ways on and around that already because, hey, that's just something they deal with on a daily basis. Shrink swell, getting bridges out over this stuff. But it also behooves you then to be on a road, right? To be on something that's established, pay your road pass, get out over the crack safely, and then explore the open ice from there.
You're listening to WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. Rob Driesline and Joel Nelson catching up on ice conditions out there and how the bite is going. I'm jumping all over, Joel, but the perch thought got me segueing to the river. You fish the Mississippi River quite a bit, correct?
I do.
And there's some great yellow perch fishing on the river. I wrote about it last winter. I can't remember if I quoted you in that piece, Joel, but I'm not sure a lot of people realize how the Mississippi River has really come on as a perch destination.
It's so interesting because in the past two winters, you know, last winter was the winter that wasn't. Mm-hmm. There were only a few people with airboats, hovercraft, those kinds of things that were getting to different places of the southern portion of the river, kind of that Winona area and south. Mm-hmm. But this winter, seeing all those sloughs freeze over early, some of them opened up a little bit again with that warm stretch. Others stayed capped, and now we're piling on ice galore. It's going to be awesome exploration time for big yellow perch down there. And I've fished Buffalo Indian Slough area. I've fished all the way down to Winona, but certainly that Wabasha, Winona area, Nelson, Wisconsin, all those spots get a lot of attention for good reason. It's because if you find an area that's just off the beaten path, you can have this mega perch bite all to yourself if you're willing to walk a little ways. And that's always been the draw to me, is kind of having that bite to myself.
Yeah, and they're great fun to catch in the winter and great eating too. I think that's been a fun story that's unfolded the past 5 years or so. Joel, before we go, I want to talk Onyx Fish. A lot of folks out there familiar with Onyx Hunt. Last year, Onyx unveiling its fish app specific to Minnesota. Is it also in Wisconsin too now?
Yep, we've got it in Wisconsin as well, and looking to expand to other states in the Midwest very soon. So yeah, it's up and rolling, and it's going really well.
Talk to us a little bit about it. When people open the Onyx Fish app, what can they expect? How does it help them out of doors, fishing-wise specifically?
You know, I liken it to the Hunt app in some respects, because we've got things like recent satellite imagery that can help for ice. We've got things like public-private layers, which can help you get on places on the water that you wouldn't have, you know, envisioned outside of public accesses. But the main benefit, the big selling point, is to find new water. And I think all of us get stuck in this rut of fishing where we have caught fish before and not visiting new areas. But with all the fisheries data and the way that it's in there now, the ability to sort on species, click on things like trophy potential or keeper potential, look where fish are abundant based on DNR surveys over multiple years, it can really give you the confidence to plan new places to fish and then get to them in a safe and effective manner within the app. So that's really the messaging so far, because everybody gets a little bit stuck in the rut, myself included. This is a way to get you unstuck.
Yeah, just go to the App Store or on your Android phone, search it out, Onyx Fish. You download the app for free and then subscribe to it, right?
Absolutely. And it is free for a limited time, but we're encouraging people to get in there. You know, we're in a feedback gathering mode. Like, there is contours in there, but if you find other things that you like or want more of, hey, we're all about trying to provide the best product to the consumer. And that's really kind of what we're hanging our hat on right now in this free base mode. So try it out. It is free.
Well, Joel, it's time to go here, but you're a hardcore turkey hunter too. That's still 3 months away, but I see I got a DNR press release already this past week pointing out that there's a couple WMAs, what, Carlos Avery and Whitewater, where you still have to apply. It looks like Friday, February 21st, folks need to apply for those two WMAs. Otherwise, all the permits are over the counter. You practicing your calls yet?
Mentally only, but the funny thing is I'm still driving around looking for turkeys. That I don't think that ever changes. and they've been really visible lately because they have been able to get at, with no snow cover, a lot of the field crops that they're scratching up. You know, it's not frozen to the ground as bad as it was. So they're doing pretty good, best I can tell.
I got to think, yeah, turkeys are coming through this winter in great shape so far. I mean, we've got no snow in a major portion of the state, which, like we said, is also helping make some very good ice out there. Joel, thanks a lot for carving out time. Good to see you. If folks want more information on Onyx, where do they go?
They just need to go to onyxmaps.com/fish. And if you want to track me down, just go to Joel Nelson Outdoors.
onyxmaps.com/fish. Do I have that right, Joel?
Absolutely.
Good to see you. Thanks for spending some time with me, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
Joel Nelson from Onyx Fish. Let's grab a break. More of the broadcast after these messages. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830 on this Sunday, January 12th. Seasonably cold out there, not miserably cold, just cold enough to keep making good ice. We talked with Joel Nelson about that in the last segment. Hey, I wanted to call out Dennis Anderson real quick at the Star Tribune. Dennis had a great column last weekend. Actually, it may have even been the previous Friday, so 8-9 days ago, remembering former President Jimmy Carter and really getting into detail about Carter's fishing prowess and experiences. I did not know that former President Carter was as hardcore of an angler as Dennis detailed in that piece. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. So thank you, Dennis, for a fine column there in the Star Tribune last weekend. We've been talking a lot of fishing recently. I'm going to transition now into talking about something that's going to affect hunting in 2025 and beyond. And I'm really excited to have a great guest with us for this segment. He's from Anoka-based Federal Premium. His name is Eric Miller. He's the rifle product manager. Eric, first of all, welcome. I hope you're staying warm during the coldest, darkest part of the year.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You're gearing up for SHOT Show 2025, which kicks off, what, about the 22nd, I think, out in Vegas. Yep. And Federal has got a new product that you guys are really excited about, but you guys were able to go public with it just this past week on January 7th. It's an amazing new rifle round, and I'll let you talk about it briefly. You guys are pretty excited about this, aren't you?
We are. We're very excited about this. We have been working on this for a long time, and just obviously coming to fruition as we launched it. It has been a long haul. The engineers here at Federal have been working years on this, essentially.
So the name of the bullet is the 7mm Backcountry. You know, there might be a lot of people out there listening, Eric, who say, well, gosh, bullet technology has been around a long time. What are the key ingredients of this? I guess the main thing is this is the casing, right? They're using this new peak alloy steel case that's very different from a traditional brass case, right?
It's revolutionary for compared to a brass case. And 7 Backcountry is the cartridge that we've launched. Really, what we're doing when you look at 7 Backcountry, what we were looking at was the industry as a whole, the firearms industry. A lot of the firearms that were coming out were going to shorter barrels. The way that the growth in suppressors has been as far as ease of use, how easy it is to get them, how popular they are becoming, that's a trend. And with that, the firearms market has looked at it. And as the firearms are being created, a lot of those guns are going to shorter barrels. So traditionally, 24 or 26 inch barrel lengths in a what I would call a legacy cartridge. Think 7 Rem Mag, 7 PRC, 300 Win, you know, things like that. If 24, 26 inch barrels, you put a suppressor on the end of that, your gun is now fairly substantially long. And to combat that, we take the barrel length down and go to 20 inches, put a 6, 7, 8 inch suppressor on the end. Now it's manageable and it's back to essentially what my gun would have been to start. But with that, when I do cut the barrel length down, I lose a lot of the performance of these great cartridges because my barrel length is shorter. I lose performance. So I'm losing the whole reason that I originally maybe went to a 7 PRC to get that shorter barrel length. And what we did was looked at this cartridge. How do we maintain or improve the overall performance and keep the barrel length short so it's maneuverable? Does not mean that you have to shoot it with suppressor, but just makes it more manageable. And what we've done is, based out of our history with the DOD and some projects within that, we came out with peak alloy. And peak alloy, just like you said, is a steel case. And traditionally, where I would operate is somewhere between 60 and 65,000 PSI in a brass case. And with 7 Backcountry and peak alloy, I'm now operating at 80,000 PSI.
And so that translates to more speed, right? You can, yep. This cartridge can handle more pressure, so it can push that bullet down the barrel with more speed. So you're compensating for having that shorter barrel with this new cartridge.
Correct. And the advantage, there's obviously a lot of advantages, but one of them is I'm not necessarily using more powder, because when we created 7 Backcountry, it's a standard long action caliber. It's not a magnum bolt face. It is a standard long action. It is the same length as a 270, a 30-06. And the peak alloy case is the vessel that handles all of the pressure. the firearm doesn't know the difference whether it's shooting a brass case or a steel case. Mm-hmm. And that's because that pressure is contained in that peak alloy. And peak alloy, it's similar, it's different hardness, but the material is the same thing that is used in, sometimes used in safes, nuclear reactor walls, you know, things like that. It is the real keystone to how we can get the pressure, how we can get the velocity. And so what, when we talk about seven backcountry, we were talking about 3,000 feet per second, 170 grain bullet, and a 20-inch barrel. That is the, you know, when I talk about backcountry, that is the performance that we're getting. We're offering it in multiple grain weights within seven backcountry, and all of those velocities are different.
So, Eric, practically on the ground, guys and gals, they're carrying these shorter barreled rifles for a number of reasons. They're in the backcountry in some ways, right? They want a lighter rifle. These suppressors have become very popular. But with this bullet, they're able to maintain that muzzle velocity. So they still have a nice flat shooting bullet, right, for top accuracy in big country or in short shooting situations.
Correct. I'm deer hunting both Minnesota and Wisconsin. And honestly, in Wisconsin, I can shoot 70 yards, right? That's just as far as I can see. But if you go out west, or I think that we talk about where your backcountry is, majority of hunting is probably done east of the Mississippi, whitetail mm-hmm. hunting. But yet, short barrels still are great. You're getting in and out of the blind, getting in and out of your side-by-side.
Walking through the woods.
Walking through the woods. Doesn't matter if I have a suppressor or not. Not everybody has one. But that short barrel length just makes it a lot more comfortable, a lot easier to maneuver. But I am giving up zero performance when I go to that platform. I'm actually, in a lot of cases, I'm increasing my performance over a traditional legacy cartridge, just based on speed.
You're listening to WCCO Outdoors. We're chatting with Eric Miller. Eric is the rifle product manager at Anoka, Minnesota-based Federal Premium. Federal announcing this past week a brand new cartridge, a brand new bullet they're very excited about, called the 7MN Backcountry. Eric, you know, people listening might say, wow, this peak alloy sounds amazing. You mentioned it's found in safes, nuclear reactors. People, they might be thinking dollar signs going out like, wow, is this a super expensive bullet? When I talk to you guys, no, it's very competitive on the retail shelf, right?
Yeah. So in our premium lineup, we have four loads, different bullets that we're loading, and that is comparable to what you or I would purchase today, a 7PRC in that same bullet. And then we also have a fusion tipped load, which hits a very different price point, and that would be lower than what I would buy in my premium. They have a little different plating on the case. The bullet is still a premium bullet. It's our fusion tipped, molecularly bonded bullet. Great hunting bullet, you know, high weight retention, but it hits a very different price point on the shelf for that fusion tip. But it is not the technology, the process that we use to make the peak alloy case is obviously different than brass, but the cost is not different. So we're not, it'll fall in line with where we are at today in a lot of our premium, and then a very different price point in that fusion tipped.
Eric, why did you go with the 7MM? Why not 30-06? Why not 270? Or is that coming? Do you think this new peak alloy cartridge will be available in some of those different calibers?
Peak alloy is the start of this. So if I look at it as it is the going from black powder to smokeless powder. That is the technology. That's the leap that we're making here. I can't say going forward, but yes, there are progressions that we would make in different calibers. But when we looked at 7 backcountry, that 284, which is the diameter of the bullet, there are a lot of offerings out there that are heavy for caliber. They're great hunting bullet. It is kind of a sweet spot between a 264 and a 308 as far as bullet weight and energy. So the performance of that is just a great place to start in 284 diameter bullets. We load 195 grain Berger bullet, which is the longest, heaviest hunting bullet that we could essentially find out there. We made sure that we would be able to load backcountry with that specific bullet. And it was just, it's a lot of offerings within the diameter. There'll be other calibers that come that will be down the road a little ways, but this was just a great place to start because of that performance aspect of those bullets.
And Eric, it sounds like a lot of gun companies already on board. They're already building a rifle to accommodate this. So there's going to be a lot of options for consumers to obviously they got to have guns to shoot these out of, right?
Yep. We partnered with gun companies. And once we showed them the technology, obviously they understood it. They were going that way anyway with the shorter barrels. You know, this is a leap for them. But because of the peak alloy case and that it can handle the pressure, we are launching with 13 gun companies.
Awesome.
And I think out of those 13, there are about, give or take, 82 models of guns that they will be offering. So, you know, there's a gun out there for any use that you or I would need essentially for hunting. And we had a lot of great partners within that, you know, Proof Research, Savage, Christensen Arms, Fierce, Pure Precision. There was 13 great partners that we worked with. And I know there are others that are in the process. They just weren't quite ready for launch, and they'll be following shortly.
Well, Eric, like I said, week after next, SHOT Show 2025 out in Las Vegas, I got to expect you're going to be explaining this new round a lot to a lot of new people out there. I suspect it's going to be the talk of the show.
I would hope so. And we'll be talking about it with everybody that we can and sharing the technology and why we think it is so great. And it's a great concept that the engineers here at Federal worked on, and they put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's going to be, you know, again, my opinion, it's going to be a really successful cartridge. We're really excited about it.
Well, congratulations on all the hard work. Glad to see it pay off. Looking forward to shooting it myself, perhaps this fall. I need to buy a shorter barreled rifle, get one of those suppressors. After shooting it, I can't imagine carrying anything else, truth be told. And I'm not blowing smoke. An amazing experience running a few of those down a rifle. Eric, thanks so much. Good luck out in Vegas. Good luck with the new product. I think it's going to be a real winner.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that was Eric Miller, rifle product manager for Anoka-based Federal Premium, talking about the new 7mm Backcountry. You're going to be seeing it everywhere as it's unveiled in 2025. Let's grab a break. More of the broadcast after these messages. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830, Sunday, January 12th. Welcome back. Final segment of this week's broadcast. I am Rob Driesline. Thanks for tuning in. Earlier, I mentioned that the DNR issued some press releases about white-tailed deer here in Minnesota this past week. I talked about one of them. They also formally issued their declaration on chronic wasting disease management in three deer permit areas down in southeastern Minnesota. Now, I've alluded to this for several weeks here on this broadcast that this was coming, but now it's official that the DNR has decided to no longer cull any white-tailed deer via sharpshooters. They were hiring the U.S. Department of Agricultural sharpshooter unit to go out and handle this in that area. They have decided that CWD is so endemic, that's the official word they're using, to the landscape in those three areas, that culling is no longer cost-effective in limiting the spread of CWD in that area, now that it's up over 5% prevalence rate in those three deer permit units. Okay, so then this past Wednesday, the DNR had a press conference, virtual press conference through Zoom. I don't know, there was maybe a dozen media there. I think there were six questions, and I asked five of them. And I share that, I guess, just so listeners know how obnoxious I am on this topic. It does mean a lot to me because I hunt in 346. It's now permit area 646. And I think it's absolutely tragic what's happening there. So the prevalence rate of CWD in these permit areas has like doubled or tripled in the past couple of years. It was like 1.5%. Now it's pushing 6%. And Michelle Cardison at the DNR admitting during that press conference that, yeah, CWD has hit critical mass. I mean, they were able to limit the spread via deer, but you get to a certain point where it's in the environment, on the landscape so much that it starts to increase dramatically in prevalency rate. Okay, so then the question is, where is it going? Tony Kennedy at the Star Tribune and Outdoor News have both reported that some of the modeling that the DNR has accessed to try to judge where this is going shows that by 2028, 3 years from now, the prevalency rate could be 15%. It could triple again. I have asked, where's it going to be in another 3 years, like in 2031? Where's it going to be 6 years from now? Because if it triples again, you're talking 40, 50% prevalency rates like they have east of Madison, Wisconsin, which I consider a total disaster. And there's part of me that feels like the DNR is throwing the towel in on this a little bit, at least in these three deer permit units. And I asked Michelle point blank, if money was not an issue, would you maintain the culling in that area to try to prevent CWD from expanding even more? The DNR spent like $800,000 last year, plus a ton of staff hours, on its existing culling efforts. And I admit, folks, that's real money, but just for the sake of a hypothetical argument, would tripling or quadrupling that effort prevent CWD from spreading more, or at least keep that prevalency rate down in those deer permit units? Yeah, it might cost several million dollars, but leave that to people like me to go to the, you know, demand that the legislature make this a priority and give the DNR funding to do that. And Michelle responded that using culling to contain chronic wasting disease is something you do when the disease is just getting rolling on kind of small specific areas. It doesn't work on what she called broad landscapes, which is increasingly what we're dealing with in southeastern Minnesota. This is becoming a multi-county problem. Fillmore, Houston, parts of Winona County, a solid chunk of southeast Minnesota now is becoming a CWD endemic zone. And I'm paraphrasing, but I believe she said, you know, the time to have tried to, you know, maybe put an even bigger effort in on culling would have been years ago when it was just getting rolling. Cat's out of the bag now, and now the agency maintains the effort is going to rely more on private landowners and hunters to control the spread. And I've got some thoughts about that too, but I'm out of time for this week. So I will talk about that more in a future edition of this broadcast. Next week, we will break down the DNR roundtable in a lot of detail, some of the topics that came up at that event. With that, I am out of time. Everybody have a great week out of doors. Be safe on the ice. Rob Driesline signing off for WCCO Outdoors.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.